Welcome to Real Flicks Reviews, like a book club for people who hate reading. This month we're doing Grab Bag, so I picked the movie Lethal Weapon, made in 1987. We do the TV show Powers by the PlayStation Channel, and we bring you movie news. This week we have Jonathan Charney, James Stevens,
Hello.
And Ryan Preston. So here's the description of Lethal Weapon. A veteran cop, Murtaugh, is partnered with a young suicidal cop, Riggs, both having one thing in common, hating working in pairs. Now they must learn how to work with each other. Which is...
I don't think they both hated working in pairs.
They hated each other.
I don't even think they necessarily really hated each other. They just hated the idea of the other one.
It was pretty much a circumstantial sort of thing. I think in different circumstances, they would have been great friends right off the bat.
Yeah, I agree.
My favorite thing about the quadrilogy is the fact through the whole thing.
It's not a word.
Murtaugh would say, "I'm too old for this shit." That was pretty much his tagline through the whole thing.
Right from the beginning. Yeah.
I would say this is, if not the height, this is towards going to the top of Mel Gibson's career.
Roles.
Yeah.
I would say, I mean,
because I would say it ended with possibly the one who played the Scotland guy.
Braveheart.
I think it would top with Braveheart and really kind of went downhill after
I would
that.
Say this is more of the character that Mel Gibson played that everybody enjoyed.
Yes.
The one where he was no holds barred, you know, tough guy. If you're in my way, I'm going through you. That's why Payback was such a great film.
And the most amazing thing about this...
Payback was one trope after another that was great. Actually, if I can throw something in right here, everybody always sort of fondly remembers Mel Gibson in Mad Max and Beyond Thunderdome and all that. The original... Oh. Mad Max or Road Warrior was really, really specific, you know, to a crowd and to a time. And so I think people sort of fond.
Ryan?
The action was like. But this one sort of solidified him with American audiences at the time. And really became like that guy. I mean, he was this guy until he sort of went off the deep end when he got all drunk and crazy.
The most amazing thing about this movie is Mel Gibson is the actual true star in this movie, but he has more background and more story than anybody else, which is still for an 80s action movie, is a little more surprising. Because they said he was...
I mean, are you alluding to his wartime career?
Well, they did
more. They
talked
to?
About they talked about his wife dying, which is a standard 80s trope. They talked about him being
some love interest dead.
Yeah. They talked about how he was with that special project in Vietnam. So he is an amazing sniper of unparalleled ability, minus the absolutely.
But he couldn't shoot Gary Busey in between a door and a car.
Right?
Just putting that out there.
With Gary Busey's chiclets, you should be able to see him coming.
Yeah, I mean, there's got to be a reflection coming off that.
Between like the backstory and how he acted, he was a pretty rich character, very defined. Unlike Danny Glover's character and Gary Busey a little bit, and the general guy were the only characters that were a little bit more fleshed out than everybody else. Granted, they were the main story, but
yeah, I was gonna say you kind of wrapped up everybody that was a player.
Yeah, everybody that mattered. Yeah.
Yeah, except for the Asian guy.
That's just testament to how well the story was told.
Yeah, you know, I think out of all the Lethal Weapons, this is the one that actually had the best writing.
Because this one was the only one that actually fit the action crime thriller. The second one did a little bit. The third one was a comedy, and the fourth one was an abortion.
Yeah, but pretty much sums it up. I don't know. I just kind of enjoyed the nostalgia of looking at the big-ass bricks of cell phones for, you know, your younger audience. You may be wondering why he's got one of those spin-up phones from the war and World War II. That's not what it was. It was actual cell phone.
What took me back was the haircuts that Murtaugh's kids had.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, and I don't know if you guys did the same thing, but the scene where they're like, oh, go get the girl. But you kind of see this character off to the side with this really long hair that looks like the girl's hair. You kind of think she's already out of the car. And then you find out it's a dude. You know, I don't think that really affected me as much as it did this time around. Of like, wow, that dude almost looks like he's put on as much makeup as the girl.
To quote the old guy, question everything.
And then the other thing I wanted to point out was maybe you crowd out there were kind of wondering why everybody in L.A. wasn't running around when these guys with fully automatic weapons were running down the street shooting.
It was common.
Guys, this was the late 80s, early 90s of L.A. This was what we called Tuesday.
Yeah.
I mean, there was so much gang violence going on down there. If you ever heard of the Bloods and the Crips, this was their highlight.
Well, all of the hood movies that take place in L.A., they didn't just base this shit off of nothing.
Yeah.
And I'm about to say something I didn't think I would ever say. This actually pains me to say it. I love Gary Busey in this movie.
This is before Gary Busey went crazy. So you can love him and not be weird.
No. Because Gary Busey was always crazy.
It was just he just went way over the top. I mean, between the motorcycle and the drug use, he didn't fare too well. But his character in this movie was surprisingly fitting to him.
Yeah.
It's
just that smile.
He creeps you out. He's like that uncle you don't want your kids to near.
He's like, I'm going
to
eat your face. You see these? These are chompers.
This chick
that uncle
huge.
That just really bums out every Thanksgiving.
But his character in this was amazing. Like my favorite scene in this is the lighter scene.
Oh.
Hold on to your arm, Joshua.
Exactly. He looks like he's pretending not to smile as he's grimacing.
And the whole time I'm sitting... And they're like, fuck, man, like you know he really is a soldier. Anybody else would be like, dude, it's Josh, man. My fucking mom calls me Joshua.
Yeah. Well, that guy was his wife.
Mr. Joshua. this movie is just always made me laugh. And I love, the other part I love is with the, what was the scene? They're in the shooting range and talking about how the hooker died.
Oh,
and yeah. It said this plot was thin.
That's a classic.
Yeah. That's kind of thin with your wife's cooking. What was that? Never mind.
I just like the fact that Mel Gibson was calling a Full Metal Jacket 40 or 9mm around a hollow point.
Yes.
Did you like that one too, Ryan?
I didn't notice it wasn't a hollow point.
Yeah, it was a Full Metal Jacket.
Wait until you get to the
hollow point.
Wait till you get to the third one. The third one's the one with the cop killer bullets. It's even more amusing.
That's, that's a great one.
Did that bother you, John? See, okay, did you look at that and just be like, really?
Honestly, since this is the 80s, this is kind of, it doesn't bother me much.
You just overlooked it?
Yeah, because it's pretty much, you know, this is when guns had unlimited magazine and Instagibs, so it's kind of like...
I was wondering why he was putting up to his temple right in between both of his lobes. I'm like, dude, that's not going to do anything except for give you a slow... I mean, you hope the ambulance doesn't arrive in 2 days because you're still going to be alive.
Yeah.
This is the problem, you know, with Google. I mean, everybody writing a movie sort of had to step up their game. Because we all sort of had this knowledge is ubiquitous now.
I knew it back in 87. I was five. And I knew the better than this shit. Sorry.
Well, that's because you grew up around rednecks.
Bikers.
Same thing.
Bikers and roofers.
I'm not quite sure if bikers and rednecks go in the same, but I'll argue the finer points of motorcycle, like 1%ers or not.
Well, later. Okay. Not all bikers are rednecks, but all rednecks are bikers.
He's got you there.
Yeah, I'm not disagreeing. Especially if you're talking about in the movie universe.
Right.
Do you know, the one thing I think about that surprised me about this movie is how much is really fleshing out Mel Gibson's character. I would say a quarter of this movie or more is solely trying to base Mel Gibson's character as a guy who's on the bloody edge.
Well, and not in a boring way either. I mean, they sort of trickled in his backstory gingerly enough throughout the time that you were into the what happened to him and all his backstory stuff, and especially when he's like, that's a special forces tattoo, and you're like, oh, I'm getting these little glimpses.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, and while still just pulling shit up, you know?
I would also say the facial expressions, which is not something I think he used a whole lot later in his career, but his facial expressions kind of showing how crazy he was, to me, was a really well-done touch, where he'd start twitching or, you know.
Yeah, later in his career, he just got paid to look mean.
and blame the British for everything.
Yeah, I mean, he just did that little, like that scowl, like that lip turned up, just kind of growl at people and $2 million.
It's really hard to say anything bad about this movie. I mean, besides the fact it's the 80s and anything revolving firearms is completely off base.
But really, other than the most forgivable of Hollywood transgresses, you know, the bullets and things, you know, it's a really good movie.
No, totally.
And it's a really good movie. Oh, you know, it didn't beat you over the head with the 80s either. So, you know, it really stands up to the test of time.
And it's surprisingly well thought out, something that they didn't carry through in the other ones. Like, the other three are not well thought out.
It wasn't beaten to death at the time either, you know.
True. I'm trying to think if the other characters, I mean, this is really the movie that really kind of made me fall in love with Mel Gibson as an actor. That and Payback.
Yeah, for sure.
Just because Payback was the movie you want to see make, where he just starts randomly killing people.
randomly.
Payback was just a fun, you know, for fun ride for sick bastards.
Yeah, I mean, that's still probably one of my all-time favorite Mel Gibson films is Payback. I mean, sure. The plot is just so straightforward. You really can't go wrong with it.
Yeah, it's about as thin as 3-2 beers, so.
It's not thin. It's just here's the plot. This is what we're doing. Sit down and relax.
That's some of my favorite movies are just the simple, like, here's a guy who wants his $73,000 back.
Yeah. Don't give him any more than that.
I would say about this movie is it's surprisingly, I mean, honestly, it's the 80s, but it's surprisingly linear, even for an 80s action movie. It's very kind of, here's a setup, here's a delivery, here's a setup, here's the delivery.
Yeah.
And you know what was great about it, too, is they didn't get so overly comp. Nowadays, I mean, every movie has to have 4 or 5 turns. This one, they set up the bad guy. The bad guy had a motive. They went and stopped the bad guy.
Yeah.
You know?
I do think it also helped because of the time it was made. Being so close to the Vietnam War, I think you didn't need a whole lot of plot twists and plot motivators that to really tell the story. The guy is a soldier, and I thought that was the perfect way to motivate the story.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think there needed to be a lot to motivate this story. I think, like you've said, is that there's a lot of backstory that they go into, you know, here and there throughout. But, I mean, as far as the plot motivators, I didn't think it needed to be that big of a deal. I mean, the heroine and the way they played it off was, I thought it was really well done.
Yeah.
As far as what, you know, what they were doing for the time.
Oh, the other funny moments. I love the description of the 80s man. I cried last night. I'm an 80s man.
Was anybody there with you?
You know what the most... I think the surprising thing is they didn't go in a lot into Murtaugh's background. He kind of stayed the same character throughout. You learned a little about his family, but none of his other... None of his other partners. Because if this was made today...
You knew what you needed to know about Murtaugh.
Well, yeah.
You know, Murtaugh wasn't a mystery to anybody. He's the family man who is just about to retire and then meets this crazy asshole. He was supposed to be the relatable guy. Yeah.
Which is amazing.
He's going to retire in 2 days.
What to me is amazing, because if they made this movie today, they'd have to have some ridiculous fleshed out backstory about something happened. And
In today's movie, they'd start out with a 20-minute scene of him in Vietnam, you know, doing the craziest shit you've ever seen in your life, cut to him with a suit at a cop station.
Yeah. God, I'm not looking forward to them rebooting this series.
Yeah.
Because I think they're making it a TV series.
Yes, they are this year.
You know what? If it's an HBO series, I'll totally watch the crap out of it.
I'm still kind of upset that they have Lethal Weapon, the one coming out now, in front of the Lethal Weapon 1987. Don't you think that's a little back-ass backwards? Just putting that out there. I mean,
They're remaking MacGyver, so the 80s is new again.
What's that guy's name?
Dude, they remade Richard Rush D. Hour as a TV show. Did you guys watch that piece of shit?
What? The Rush Hour?
Yeah, Rush Hour. The one with Chris Tucker and Jackie Chan?
No.
They did it as a TV show.
I know. And didn't they do Bulletproof, too?
No fucking way. The one with Adam Sandler?
Yeah.
Wow.
Either they're rebooting the actual the movie or...
So let's save this for movie news. I give this a 4 out of 5, mainly because I actually really... This is one of my all-time favorite movies. I can't quite give it a 5 out of 5, but I've watched this movie so much, I almost know the plot and all the lines by heart. So this is a 4 out of 5. I mean, this to me, this was better than Die Hard just by a little bit.
Well, to me, Die Hard and this movie sort of fall under slightly different categories. This is a 5 out of 5, even if on accident. You know, this is the quintessential buddy cop movie. Every movie that has two cops in it who don't like each other is just trying to make this movie.
James. Wait, what about Turner and Hooch?
Oh. You screw that fucking what?
Oh.
With the dog?
Oh, what does an aneurysm feel like?
So what's going on now in your brain?
Oh, I stopped asking that question years ago. Your answers scare me. So what rating do you give this movie, Hooch?
You know, I mean, for action film, this one isn't the pinnacle for me, but it is quite up there. Like I said, I mean, for me, the action is the pinnacle of payback of just how straightforward it is. No real bull crap, just cut right through it. But this one is a 4 out of 5 for me.
And so
just don't ask me my rating on Turner and Hooch.
Oh, that's can we just
got
never
Ryan to be quiet?
Can we just never do that movie, please? I want to kind of block that movie out of my life. So we're switching the TV show, and Joe James, you're up.
Joe?
Yep, Joe.
Joan Rivers is here.
Her ghost.
Anyway, so this one is a PlayStation film or TV series that they put out called Powers. I just kind of ran across it just randomly.
You there, you know, Ryan?
Just stuff.
Yeah.
So, Ryan, did you watch this one?
Yeah, I did.
Okay, so hold on. I want to jump into this first.
Hold on. I'm proud of you, Ryan.
I mean, does he get a gold star now?
He should.
So, I want to jump into this one
real quick.
Somebody
smoke him out.
Is this one, there were parts in the opening, like, 10, 15 minutes where I thought about stopping, but there was enough in there for me to be like, okay, you know what? I'm curious enough to see what route they take this. I mean, Ryan, did you kind of feel the same way?
The whole time I'm watching it, there was a couple of things that kind of kept me going. They teased a couple of things. The one thing that really stood out, which really wasn't much, was I was just wondering what his relationship between him and his partner's wife was.
Oh, okay.
Because that's the only part that they just hinted a little bit towards.
Yeah, they glossed
Everything
over
else
it.
Was really spelled out. I mean, I understand it's a pilot, but I've never seen worse chemistry, yeah, you know, between the actors. I think that's what was bugging me the most.
Yeah, I did think the acting was really not really great.
It's just flat. They were playing it so dry. I mean, with all this space for actual good funny moments or realistic moments, it was just so fucking serious.
Yeah.
And this TV show is totally seemed like a combination between Heroes and the X-Men.
A bit.
Was Heroes with a couple of cuss words is kind of how I was looking at it.
And according to this, this did 2 seasons and 13 episodes, so this wasn't a very long series.
Well, it's still going. This started last year. So it's only got 2 seasons going
now. I think, obviously, when it comes to these things, and tell me if you think I'm wrong, when it comes to things like Netflix or Sony, or
PlayStation,
Amazon movies, or, you know, putting out Community and stuff like that, you can't really base it on ratings so much anymore, only because it doesn't cost so much to distribute it like it used to. You know, so you can keep it on Netflix in perpetuity or on Sony for fucking ever.
Jerks.
I think I was going to say, I think they're going to base this on... I think they would base this on plays and kind of what the atmosphere and everybody on the internet kind of say about it.
Yeah.
I think that's one of the reasons there's certain characters or certain movies or TV shows not around anymore on that were Netflix only.
Yeah.
Well,
I mean,
what's actually kind of cool about it, and sort of the point that I was getting to, is whether or not I like the show or not, and I'm not necessarily a fan, by the way, it can stay on and it can actually try to find its footing.
Yeah,
you know, and who knows, like a few episodes in, it might have found its footing, whereas otherwise it would have been canceled on network.
Yeah, kind of like
so
what
it's good
Fox
that these
did.
Kinds of little shows are getting a shot to just tell a story.
I think that's the best thing now about, I mean, this is a tad bit of a sidebar, but I think that's the best thing about Netflix and Amazon is shows that would, like you said, would never have a giant run, like, say, Firefly, for example, would have been a huge hit. They would have had, like, 6 seasons and, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, as far as I'm concerned on this one, I might give it maybe 2 more episodes at the most. I mean, the thing that I was saying about it is, like, I could see this one kind of being like like Ryan said, you know, more of like a grown-up version of Heroes where, I mean, it has the potential to go places, but with how bad the acting is on the main characters,
I don't know if I'd even say it's a grown-up version of Heroes.
Well, I mean,
it's
like, they're cussing and they're killing people.
Well,
right?
I didn't say grown-up of Heroes. I just said Heroes where they cussed a couple of times.
Yeah.
See, I would say it was Heroes, but slightly touched.
Yeah.
Honestly.
This is the Down syndrome version of Heroes for you people out there.
Let's not insult our brothers and sisters out there with Down syndrome.
And sisters that I haven't met yet?
I mean, you know, like sort of the royal brothers and sisters.
I just said slightly touched. James is the one who put it over the top there, as always.
I was just saying what you were.
Going full retard.
Yeah, don't go full retard, people out there. It doesn't go well.
Oh, shit. So, ladies and gentlemen,
stop it now. Huh?
ladies and gentlemen, do you hate us, love us? Make sure you go to our Facebook page and tell us. Matter of fact, if there's a movie or a TV series you'd love us to do, holy crap, please let us know. Also, we do now have an audio podcast, a little bit Podbean, Stitcher, and more. Make sure you give us a listen.
Sure, why not?
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, put us in your head. God help you.
I promise we'll only haunt your nightmares.
I'll make you laugh.
We will not make your drive time go any faster.
Well, maybe off a cliff.
Yeah, matter of fact, listen to our Das Boot episode. You'll understand what it means by being Das Booted.
Listen to us while you work out and make a deal with yourself that you can't stop listening until you do like an hour on an elliptical.
Do we have we do have an hour long show.
So
somewhere.
So I found an article as far as movie news that I thought was slightly fascinating. Cuba Gooding Jr. Reveals why he passed away on so many amazing roles and went to a lot of crappy direct-to-video roles. He says he was waiting for the perfect role.
Wait, his name is Cuba Gooding?
That's what I was kind of thinking.
Cuba Gooding Jr.
Oh, jeez.
I butchered it. I'm okay with that. It's like he's going to
find
us. Just
a little downsy saying it.
Oh, jeez. This is great. Thanks a lot. Now we're going to get more comments. That's not nice.
Das Bucha.
Jeez. And they're still talking about Channing Tatum playing Gambit on X-Men.
Why?
A couple of movie news stories talk about, it's being delayed again. And I actually want to watch a Gambit movie, especially if it's what we've talked about, but not with him.
Assassins and Thieves.
Do you think that dude can actually pull off a New Orleans accent?
No.
No. Not at all.
I don't think he speak English.
He definitely can't act with it. Maybe he should try pantomiming.
I'm not a hater. I mean, I loved him in 21 Jump Street. I thought that movie was hysterical. But, I mean, yeah, the Louisiana, New Orleans, man, I think that's...
But he
it
was,
feels like that's over his head. I don't know.
Well, why don't they do the guy from... do you remember the serial killer guy from True Blood?
Yeah.
Why don't they have him play Gambit?
But Gambit was more like Creole too, right? Because he had the French.
Yeah, but that guy could do it. That guy can nail those accents.
I mean,
nail on the head a little bit too much. I mean, I can definitely see him trying.
Oh, he's too good for the role.
It is Gambit after all. Nobody wants to really see a Gambit movie.
as long as they don't pick the guy they did last time.
I mean, see, to me, it's funny that they don't go with more, you know, sort of bringing people up from obscurity a little bit. You know, the people who've done a few things, kind of proven themselves of an actor. And then, because obviously, look, these characters have stood the test of time already. I mean, people are going to watch a Gambit movie no matter who's in it. You know, Channing Tatum isn't going to sell that movie. Gambit is.
You just reminded me. The last guy who played Gambit reminded me of Mr. Glass from Unbreakable.
Oh, geez. Samuel Jackson? That was like the worst movie you ever did, dude.
Right
up there are Snakes on the Plane and...
No, Snakes on the Plane. Snakes on a Plane, he wanted a new car. There was a payday involved in that movie.
Oh, for sure.
I mean, there's no way anybody else would ever do that movie.
Oh, Formula 51. That's the other one I was trying to think of.
Oh, that movie was so bad.
you want to see that guy in his skirt?
Just had to keep the breezes down.
Jeez. So what do you guys think about a newer Harry Potter movie? So there's a newer movie coming out, and they're talking about...
We're not even there yet.
It's Harry Potter and the Cursed Child.
I mean, are we supposed to do like 20 years, 15 years in between? I mean, isn't there like a limit out there, Hollywood? I mean, Jesus.
Well, she did write a book, so I'm pretty sure they're like, hey, we need ideas. Well, let's give her more money.
I mean, isn't that what the Beast movie is? The Mystical Beast or whatever the hell that is coming out?
Beast?
Yeah, there's some Harry Potter universe type film coming out. Oh, jeez, what is it? The Fantastic Beast and Where to Find Him.
I think this is what this is about. I'm assuming this is within that book.
Well, it's the Fantastic Beast and Where to Find Him is in the universe. I'm assuming that's what that is, too. Like a legit kind of reboot on a new Harry Potter character going to Hogwarts.
Well, see, no, this one, if reading the news, it's about, like, the American magic schools, and it has Draco as an adult.
Maybe. I could be down with that. I don't know.
I mean,
I like Harry Potter's.
I don't know. It seems a little kind of new to do the new school already.
Yeah,
I'm cool with it too. I mean, I think it was a pretty amazing universe that was created, and not to mention Disney. I mean, wait a second, not Disney. Where's the Wizarding World of Harry Potter? The
WB.
Was it really Warner Brothers?
Yeah,
I didn't remember that.
That's Warner Brothers, so guys.
Is it Six Flags that they
Universal
have
Studios?
Yes, it's in Universal Studios.
Okay. Yeah, so
God,
I mean,
Ryan, you live there.
A ton of money into that kind of thing, so I mean, of course, they're going to keep making the properties.
Yeah, I mean, I like Ryan was saying, I enjoy that universe as well. I mean, I was kind of happy they were doing Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them, but to do a kind of reboot of the whole schooling system, I don't know.
I mean,
are they going to have a character like Harry Potter in it?
Well, this isn't technically...
Yeah, this is the kind of thing they would turn into a Saturday morning cartoon, you know, like the Jackie Chan adventures, you know?
Yeah, well, technically this isn't a reboot. It's basically an extended of the series, because Hogwarts was destroyed, not the other magic schools. And if you watch the movies and read the book, they did tell you there were magic schools all over the world.
Yeah, they did. I mean, they brought in people from, you know, different areas for
the game.
Goblet of Fire.
Yeah.
So this is basically... the Los Angeles version of Walking Dead.
Yeah, that's what it seems like to me. Hopefully it's better acted.
I don't know. I kind of like Fear the Walking Dead. It's kind of an interesting take on it.
So do any of you guys like Daniel Day-Lewis?
Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
So according to this, he's going to come out for Deep Freeze by Paul Thomas Anderson.
Deep Freeze?
Yep. Basically, they say he's going to come out of retirement because he basically said, after the Lincoln movie, they basically said, I'm done for a while.
I still think he would have made a great, you know, Doctor Strange.
I just want to see when it's not filming, when he's demanding everybody call him the Sorcerer Supreme. That's one of the reasons.
Seriously.
That's one of the reasons I love this guy. I just want to say, I am the Sorcerer Supreme. Would you like fries with that, sir? You know, I would pay to see that.
But I mean, I like Daniel Day-Lewis. I think he's a great actor. I think we did There Will Be Blood, and I think even that one he did a fantastic role.
Yes.
Well, and not to mention There Will Be Blood was Paul Thomas Anderson.
Yeah.
So I mean, it totally makes sense that he would come out of retirement, or so to speak, you know, for PTA, man, because that movie was so effing good.
Yeah.
I see. I like him, but I don't at the same time. I don't know why. It's really hard to say.
Daniel Day? Or?
Yeah, okay. Daniel Day-Lewis. He's an amazing actor. All the movies I like, maybe that's why I hate him, because some of the characters are jerks.
Because he plays them so well.
Him and Paul Thomas Anderson, because Paul Thomas Anderson makes some incredibly unique movies. James, what's your opinion of Punch Drunk Love?
Actually,
you remember that flick?
Yeah, but that's one on my list that I never got around to.
Okay, well, yeah. It's,
I didn't watch that one.
Incredibly unique. If you get around to watch it, I'm interested in your opinion on that one.
And the last bit of movie news before we talk about next week's show is Bill Skarsgård is cast as the iconic Pennywise the Clown in the new Stephen King's It.
Nice. That'll be interesting.
So what do you think? Does it have you wanting to see it more than before?
It doesn't add or detract any reason that I wanted to see it. I wanted to see it because I enjoyed the film. I mean...
So you're more neutral about it. Yeah. You're going to see it because you like the original.
Yeah. And Ryan's going to see it because it gave him dreams.
He hates lots of dreams. He hates clowns. Isn't that right,
yeah,
Ryan?
I can face the fear of clowns without an issue. It's the bees now. I have an irrational fear of bees. It's freaking weird.
Like African bees? Like killer bees? Or just bees?
I mean, might as well be, you know? It's fucking retarded.
Okay.
He hates honey. He starts breaking out in hives. So what's...
I was watching a thing on how honey was made and freaking out that the guy wasn't wearing gloves. You idiot!
Do you know what you could do to the honey? It's contamination. Oh, wait, no. That's not what you were saying, was it?
No, that's not what I was saying.
So, next week is James's pick, but first we should talk about what TV series we're doing, and James?
All right, so I'm doing one of these classic films, or TV series. We're going to go jump back in 2001 and go watch 6 Feet Under.
Oh, wow. Which episode?
The first pilot? Episode. Yeah, okay. The first episode.
Hell yeah, pilot episode of that fucking show is so good.
And then we're also going to do a little bit of a jump back 10 years before that. And go to the 1995 movie called Kids.
Oh, jeez. Seriously?
Yep.
I haven't seen this movie since 1996.
Yeah, this is one of those movies that was like reportedly like passed around in a brown paper bag, you know, between like junior high kids.
Yep. Yes.
So. Okay. Yeah.
Oh wow, I haven't seen or even thought about this movie so long.
You know what's sad is I've seen this movie like once. I probably remember once? Every scene of it.
Dude, I've seen this movie.
That's a movie that sticks with you.
Yeah, more than once.
Yeah.
You only really do need to see it once, guys.
This is a movie that you'll quote randomly and you think, oh, crap, it's from Kids. I haven't thought about that movie in a long time. And then you start talking about it. And then you realize...
save this for next week, guys. Yes.
And so... jeez. And so I gave... Oh, damn. I'm kind of like, wow, really? So yep. I gave Lethal Weapon a 4 out of 5. James gave it a 4 out of 5. Ryan gave it a 5 out of 5. We gave the PlayStation Network TV series Powers give it a chance, watch.
Yeah, go ahead and watch the first one. Make...
Yeah.
And as always, see you next week. We'll be right back.